I love that song, "What a Mighty God We Serve." And that's so good. But you know, he's just not mighty unto himself. He's mighty to us. Amen. As his church, as his people, as his body, he's mighty unto us. And he's not only mighty unto us, but he's mighty through us. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The Lord is mighty through us. Yes. Amen. Amen. And he's got a job to do in the earth, and he's going to get it done. And he's going to get it done in and through this body. Amen? Amen. Through this body. Say, through me, God's going to do and fulfill his plan in the earth. In the earth, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I guess it was December the last time we talked. Where y'all been? Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest in the Lord. You know, faith is a rest. It is a rest. You know, and it's not by human effort that his things are done. But the scripture says it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So I can only stand here this morning to minister by and through his spirit. He's made me able. You know, when the Lord called me a number of years ago, it was the furthest thing from my mind, because I like to sit back there, like, you know, I didn't want to be seen. You know, I wanted to work in the church and be helpful and be a blessing, as I know all of you are and do every day. But you know, I had to overcome some things. You know, you overcome the fear of man, for one. You know, when you get up and you speak and you talk, you know, you overcome that fear. You know, you overcome the fear of what they think, or what, you know, what you may look like, you know, or what's, how's it going to sound coming out of me? But you know, God is able. Amen. You know, he makes all of us able. He empowers us. He strengthens us to do what he's called us to do. Amen. Amen. And we're all able ministers. We are sent as emissaries, as ambassadors of Christ into the earth. Amen. And he's empowered us, hasn't he? He's empowered us with his spirit. You know, as I was doing some study along the lines for the word, bringing the word this morning, you know, when I was looking in the Old Testament, there's some beautiful words, you know, when God talks about bringing strength to his people. And David would sing songs about how the Lord would strengthen him and empower him. And one of the Hebrew words talks about an entwinement, is that God being so intertwined in our life and in us that he strengthens us. You know, the more cords you add to, you know, if you have one cord and then you braid another and then a braid another and braid another, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, God said, I'm intertwined with you. I am bound up, twisted together with you to the point that you can't see where he starts and you end. But there's a strength that comes from that intertwining. Amen. 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 Praise God. It's just beautiful, the language, when you read it, that God would mix himself with us to that degree, to intertwine with us. And then we have the scripture in the New Testament where it says a threefold cord is not easily broken. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, if you got your Bibles or your electronic devices, go ahead and hold them up. All right. So this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God, the living Word that abides forever. The word that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And in my hand,
the enemy's afraid of me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, we do have an adversary, don't we?
Yes.
And you know, the Bible says, it tells us that we're to resist him. Amen. But we just don't resist him in and of ourselves. We resist him steadfast in the word, in the faith. Amen. And when we resist him, the Bible says he flees. Amen. He flees as in terror. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning is being strong in the Lord. Amen. Strong in the Lord. You know, in and of ourselves, we're not strong. In and of ourselves. You know, human effort and human strength will only go so far. You know, you will stumble, you will grow weaker, you know, but the strength of the Lord coming on us and being in us, hallelujah, this New Testament strength is inside, isn't it? Because that's where the Holy Ghost is, and that's where God downloads His strength, His power, His wisdom, His might. He downloads it right straight to our spirit, amen? Because we are a spirit. We have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and we live in this body, this house, this tent. Amen?
Amen?
And so our spirit is only in this body for a little while. You know, if Jesus tarries and we lay down this body, our spirit and our soul go to be with the Lord, right?
Amen.
And then when the Lord returns, there's a reuniting with that body. Amen? And we get glorified bodies after that. Amen? But what I want to talk to you about is being strong in the Lord today. Strong in the Lord. And if you turn to Ephesians 6:10. Hallelujah. You know, Paul's talking here to the church at Ephesus. And you know, this is a father talking to his children. This is the care and the love of a father. You know, and he was an apostle of that church. He started that church. He birthed that church on his early missionary journeys. Him and Barnabas went out and they found the churches. And then him and Silas went out later and confirmed and strengthened those churches. But he was a father to this church, and he was writing them a letter, and he's telling them as a father to his children. He said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen?
Amen.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he tells them to do several things. He tells them, you know, to put on, and he talks about the armor. But he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So where does our strength come from? It comes from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And He imparts that strength to our spirit. And that's and His spirit with our spirit intertwined, He's going to impart that strength to us. Amen?
Amen?
Let's also look at Philippians 4, familiar scripture. Philippians 4:13. I know you guys can quote this by heart. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that strength is dunamis power. It's that Holy Spirit power, the Holy Ghost power working in us and through us. Amen. That power is in us for a reason, for a purpose. God placed the Holy Spirit in us. He's sending and He imparts His power, His strength, that dunamis power in us and through us to do the work of God. Amen? And also, let's look at Joel 3:10. Joel 3:10. And you come to the minor prophets after Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai, Zechariah, I'm sorry. Come to Joel after Hosea. Joel 3, verse 10. And he says, let the weak say, I am strong. So we're to say, I am strong in the Lord, right? Let the weak say, I am strong. And I'm strong in the Lord. And, you know, God wants us strong. He wants us strong to fulfill His purpose. He wants us strong to fulfill His plan. And, you know, this whole message really, God put it on my heart. As we were going through, you know, we started at the beginning of this year, and Miss Wanda was leading us in prayer, in praying those scriptures from Ephesians in chapter 1, chapter 3, specifically. And I was reading there in Ephesians chapter 3 one day, and Paul was praying that you might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man. And as I was reading that, he goes on and he says, after that, he describes what the reason of that strength is for. That prayer for strength is so we might see something, so we might know something, so we might perceive something from the Spirit of God that's been given to us. Amen? It's not naturally discerned. It's not naturally perceived. It's perceived by and through the Spirit. So he's praying, and we've been praying, and we should, that we perceive in our heart that by the strength, by the power of the Spirit, that we be strengthened with this mighty power. And then it goes on, it talks about that power. He says, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's that power from heaven. It's that Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth coming inside of us. He said that this power downloaded to us, that our eyes would be opened, that we would know the hope of our calling, what the riches of His glory of our inheritance in the saints is, that we would know what is the mystery of His will, that there be revelation knowledge. I don't know about you, but I want to know what God's plan is for my life, don't you? You know, I think if that's one thing every believer wants more than anything else, is to do the perfect will of God. You know? And as I've heard someone say before, you may want the perfect will of God, but you've got to do the perfect will of God to get the perfect will of God. So we want to walk as He walked. We want to walk in Him, walk in His power, walk in His strength, and believing that He's going to reveal some things to us. So as we're praying that prayer, like I said, that inspired me, you know, as I was reading that prayer. And then, you know, it's funny because as you read and you get light, more light comes. You get more light. And the light that I was getting from that prayer was right here, strength. Paul was praying that you might be strengthened with might, not weakness, might. Not weakness, might. So that you would know certain things that God has prepared for us, that we are seated with Him in heavenly places, that we have authority in the name of Jesus and who we are in Christ. And with that authority and with that knowing inside, with that revelation knowledge, it's not what you know or what they know. It's not what I know, but it's what you know. It's what revelation you have in your heart of who God is that empowers you to go forth in His name. Amen? Amen. You know, even as a witness, you know, we're empowered. You know, Jesus told him to wait in Jerusalem. He said, wait till you're endued with power from on high. Well, that word endowment, it's like a cloak putting on. It's like sliding into some clothes. And he said, there's going to be a power that's not only going to be on you, as in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come on those men and women of old. But he said, that power would come on you. And he said, to be my witnesses. A witness is something that you see, right? It's a testimony. It's not just something you hear, but it's something you see. And the testimony of Christ is something that is seen in and through us. Because we are His hands, we're His feet, we're His mouthpiece. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Jesus isn't going to come down here and walk on the earth again and do His mighty works again by Himself. No, he's in heaven at the right hand of God. He sent his Spirit to empower us and strengthen us because we're his body. Amen?
Amen?
And so as we walk in the earth in the Spirit of strength, in the Spirit of grace, then he's going to work through us. He's going to work through his body. Amen? The head and the body are not separated, y'all. It's like I heard somebody say, the head doesn't go down to the bank and open an account and the body goes somewhere else. No, the head and the body go together to open that account together. Amen? So we have an account in heaven, and Jesus has put in that account everything we need. Amen? We're fully supplied. We're fully banked in the Spirit. Will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But this strength, where does that strength come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. And it comes into our spirit. You know, our spirit has to be refired, re-strengthened. Amen? Because otherwise, why would he say, be strong in the Lord? If you didn't have to get rejuvenated and refilled and refilled and refilled, you know, the scripture tells us in Ephesians, be filled, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But that word is connotates or there's a continual filling and refilling and refilling and refilling. Now the Spirit himself, he doesn't go dry, he doesn't run down, okay? But we do. Our spirit needs to be refilled and rejuvenated and strengthened. Amen?
Amen.
I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it's good to just have that put in remembrance, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because we all have to go. We all have to go to that throne of grace, don't we?
Amen.
And he tells us, come boldly. Why? To receive grace and help in a time of need.
Amen.
So before we go out the door in the morning, we're going to get filled, aren't we? Because we're going out there to do the Lord's work, aren't we? Whether we're a mechanic, whether we're a scientist, whether we're an educator, it doesn't matter what we do. Amen. God has grace for us to help us. Amen. So we're going to that throne of grace to receive. So let's go to Proverbs 4, verse 20. He told us in Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm strong, but I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Proverbs 4. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4. I know what's in here. Starting verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. And then he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When he says, keep your heart, that's your spirit. Amen? That's your spirit. He said, keep it, guard it, because out of it are flowing the issues of life, the rivers, that river of life that's in you. It's going to flow out of you. It's going to flow out of your heart. Amen? But he says here, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. And in that, he's saying, get immersed in the word. And, you know, in that, when I think of that word incline, you know how people say, well, a certain person had an inclination to do this or an inclination to do that, or they were so inclined to do this or so inclined to do that. And what I see there, I picture us, his children, as believers, we're leaning towards God. We're leaning towards him. We're inclined to him because we're more inclined to hear what he's got to say than what somebody else has got to say. We're more inclined when times of trouble that we're going to grab a hold of God. We're going to grab a hold of him and receive his strength rather than go over here and try to have someone, a person, the strength of man, help us. And so he said, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. He said, don't let them depart. Don't let them depart. So as we're inclined, as we're attending to his words, what is that going to do? That's going to strengthen us, isn't it? We're going to receive strength on the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6. We're talking about strength on the inside. Strength on the inside. How many of you remember four-barrel carburetors? Four-barrel carburetors. I heard this song. It was from the 50s or 60s, and it was the song Little GTO. And he said he had three deuces on there, two-barrel carburetors. Yeah, he's talking about how fast his car was in that song. Anyway, but you know the strength of God inside of us. You know, we you can go along in life and you're cruising along, but then when you need that extra, when you need extra to get up that hill or to pass somebody, it's just so comforting, you know, to be able to put your foot down. You know, if you got a four barrel or three deuces and you put your foot in it, it's like, see you later, right? See you later, you know, and there's no hesitation. That's why we don't have a V6. We got a V6 in our car, you know, and so many, you know, car companies want you to buy four cylinders. You know, buy this four cylinder. You know, it's just as fast and just as strong as a six cylinder. I'm going, no, I want the six cylinder, thanks. You know, because it's got power in reserve. You know, if you drive a four cylinder, that's all right. Be happy. But man, I like power in reserve, don't you? Yeah. Do you like your power in reserve? I remember this old commercial. It was a Toyota commercial, and these grandmas were talking about their car, and Toyota was talking about this V6 in their, I think it was a Camry. And this one grandma said, well, why do you like it? And the other one said, because I can punch it. She wanted that power so she could punch it, you know? Because I tell you, when I want to pass somebody, I don't want to be hanging around. I want to pass them and get on down the road. You know what I'm saying? Within reason. You know, so anyway, praise the Lord. You know, in my van, my work van, they can monitor my speed. You know, they got this little gizmo in there. They hook up to it, and they can monitor your speed. And they said, now, don't go over 80 miles an hour. And one day, I was just moving along with the flow of traffic. And I'm like, hey, we're just moving along. I looked down, whoa, 80 miles an hour. You know, I just thought, whoo, got to back off. Whew. I thought, well, I might be getting a phone call. I don't know. Slow it down, Bob. Slow it down. So anyway, but we've got strength on the inside. When we come up against those obstacles, we've got strength on the inside. We got three deuces in there, and we can put down the pedal. We can demand. We can put a demand on the Spirit of God inside of us. And He's there to help us and strengthen us. Amen? In a time of need. He's ready. It's not that, are we ready? It's not that, you know, are we waiting on God? He's ready. It's, are you ready? And are you ready to put a demand on the Spirit of God? You know, when I was in high school, I struggled in certain areas of math. You know, I made C's, maybe a B. But anyway, and then later on, I got saved a few years later after I got out of high school. I got saved when I was 18. And then a couple years after that, I was taking some college courses when I was in the service. And then after that also. But I went back and I thought, well, I didn't do so hot in math in high school. I did okay, but, I wasn't an A student. So I kind of felt like I missed out on some stuff, you know. And so I kind of wanted to prove something to myself, you know, that I could get it. You know what I'm saying? And so I took some college courses, some college math. And I'm telling you what, just like in that prayer, God revealed to me that you be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. So that, you know, as I'm in these classes and I'm studying, I'm starting to find out. Because I thought everything in math was kind of nebulous. It was arbitrary. You know, they start talking about, and you do this, and then you do this, and you flip-flop this, and this and that and everything else. And I just thought, I don't get it. You know, 1 + 1, I understood. I got that, okay? And 2 × 2, but then you got into some of that advanced math, you know, and they start talking about these things. And I don't know how I got by. Because when I discovered that there were laws, I went, what? There are laws that govern this. You know, these mathematicians just weren't pulling stuff out of the air. You know what I'm saying? But there are laws that governed mathematics. And these laws were like tick tock. You could count on them. You know what I'm saying? And so God started, I believe with all my heart, that it was by the Spirit of God inside me, helping me to see things I hadn't seen before. I believe it. Whether you want to call it maturity, whether you want to call it Jesus on the inside, helping me on the outside, all of it working together. Amen. Because Jesus on the inside will mature you. He will grow you up. Spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, He will help you. Because every area of life is important to Him. You know, it's just not coming to church. And that's important. Because when you come to church, I just love, you know, when we sing these songs, there's a reason we sing the same songs. Just, it's not like you guys sing one song and they're singing another. You know, that would be confusion. Or this half over here is doing one song and this half over here is doing another song and they're up here doing another. No, that's confusion. No, there's a reason that we sing these songs. And there's a reason we sing them together. Because we become one voice. We become one sound. We speak it. You deserve it, Lord. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. And guess what? As you say that, you're also hearing it. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow. What is that? You're speaking truth. Amen. And what's coming? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. And hearing. So as we're singing the songs, we're singing them together. We're one. This body is one. And we're stronger together. Amen? So when we come to church, we're getting stronger. We're getting stronger. We're getting strength that's coming into us. That strength on the inside. That's going to able to help us on the outside. Amen? Make us better. Make us better. Make us stronger. Open our eyes to some things. You know, we need each other. We do. We do. You know, my wife was prayed for last week. And she went to one of our prayer ministers, Miss Teresa, able ministers of God. We have so many able ministers. Matter of fact, you're all ministers. You're all anointed. You all have a call. Okay? But we have different callings, different anointings. But Mr. Kelvin and Miss Teresa, they're anointed ministers of God. And my wife went to Miss Teresa. She recognized she's a prayer minister. She went to her and Miss Teresa prayed for her. Well, God did something. He did something. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture talks about about the body. I think I got that scripture written down. But as the body comes together, the scripture says where every joint supplies, there's a supply made. And what is a joint? A joint is where two members come together. So when we come together in the body of Christ in church, we got two members coming together, and there's a supply. There's a supply of the Spirit in and through that other member to us, and there's strength. You pull strength from one another. We do. You know, like I said when I was ministered in December, I see people in here ministering to one another. You know, and I don't care if it's just a handshake or a smile. But it's still, you're ministering something to another part of Jesus. Yes. Do you hear me? Another part of Christ in here. Because we are the body of Christ. So as we extend a hand, as we speak a word of encouragement, we're giving life. And so it's so important to come, when we come to church, you know, come ready. Come ready to give. Not just your stuff, your money, because we're giving that to the Lord, amen? Amen? But we're coming to give to one another. We're coming to give our encouragement. We're coming to words of grace, words of life. You know, that was something the Lord put on my heart when I first got saved. God did some miracles in me. I mean, somebody didn't have to tell me, "Are you saved? Are you saved?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm saved." You know, I had a witness on the inside. That's Scripture, right? We have a witness on the inside that we are the sons of God. Because things changed radically in me. But one of the things I knew was my tongue got changed. My language got changed. There were things coming out that shouldn't have been coming out. They didn't minister life to people. They ministered death. So I found in the Scripture where it says, "Let your words be seasoned as with salt, so it might minister grace to those who hear it." Amen? And then when you find over in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, he talks about apples of gold on a setting of silver. And then he also prayed a prayer. He said that the Lord would give him the tongue of the learned, that he may know how to answer every man who's weary in due season. I tell you, there's no greater blessing, there's no greater thing for any person than to be used of God to bless another person. Amen. That is such a blessing in and of itself. Amen. Amen? Amen? To minister life, to minister strength to another person, especially in the body of Christ. Because when they walk away from your presence, you know that, and it's not just the giving, it's receiving too. We got to be humble enough to receive. Amen? To come and say, "Speak to me. Preach to me, brother. Preach to me. Help me. I know you got a word in you. I know you got a word in you. Go ahead." And we can preach to one another, just encouraging one another, loving one another, nurturing and ministering to one another. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Forgot where I was. That's all right. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Are you there? I think we're there. He says, "For this cause we faint not." We faint not. We faint not. Why is he not fainting? Why would he say we faint not? Because there's strength. Amen? And if there wasn't strength, then there might be fainting. But there's strength. Amen? I'm strong in the Lord. Are you? Amen. In the power of his might. He said, "For this cause we faint not, but though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed." That inward man can be renewed. Amen. There's a renewal. There's a strength coming in. Hallelujah. Day by day. That renewing is to make you vigorous. That's the Greek words. It's to grow you up. It's to grow you up. And you know, natural age, chronological age, has nothing to do with spiritual maturity, you know? And it's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice, but I want to grow up. How about you? I want to grow up in the Lord. I want to be strong in the Lord. You know, I can remember some years ago when I first started coming to church here, back like in the 80s, 84, I believe, is when I first came. And I can remember rubbing shoulders with other believers in here, in this house. And I remembered that I met a brother, and he seemed like he, as we were going, just going back, circle back around, about ministering life and ministering to other believers, other people, just always having a word. And I'm not talking about phony. I'm talking about real, you know, just to bless you. And this brother would pray for people, you know. It wasn't a big deal. Just to, "Hey, let me pray for you." You know, but what I'm trying to say is I saw something in him that I wanted. I didn't want to be someone who always needed somebody to prop me up as a Christian, as a believer. It's okay if you're a baby Christian. It's okay if you're going through a time and you need somebody to be, and you should surround yourself with other strong Christians. That's what we're here for. But I don't want to perpetually be that way. I don't want to be in a state where I always need to be propped up. You know what I'm saying? I want to be strong so I can help other people. But that brother inspired me. If I hadn't been here, I wouldn't have met that brother. If I hadn't been here in church, in fellowship, then there would have been nothing to draw inspiration from. But he blessed me and he inspired me. And so from then on, I said it in my heart. I endeavored. I'm going to be somebody that I can be a strength to somebody else. Amen. If need be. If need be. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So Paul said that you be renewed. You can be renewed. Though the outward man is perishing, the inward man. Say the inward man. The inward man can be renewed. It can be invigorated. It can be strengthened. It can grow up. Amen? And it says, so we know that God's purpose and His plan is for us to be strong and to strengthen us. And that's an ongoing process. It's not a one-time thing. Amen? And so, how do we get stronger? I'll just keep an eye on the clock here. Okay. How do we get stronger? We get stronger through the Word. Amen? In the natural, we eat, we sleep, we rest, and we exercise. Everybody say exercise.
Exercise.
Exercise. Everybody say again, one more time. Exercise. Exercise. Amen. Exercise. It could be just going up down the steps a few times a day. Amen. Exercise. Exercise. We need exercise. We need exercise. You know, okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We get strengthened through good food, nourishment in the natural, but also in the spirit. There are parallels. We get strengthened by rest. Rest in the natural and rest in our spirit. Faith is a rest, isn't it? You know, we come to a place where, God, I'm resting in You and Your finished work in and through me. I'm trusting in You. I'm relying on You. You know, we were driving this morning, and Jan doesn't like spiders. So I got in the car this morning. I remember we were on our honeymoon, and we were getting on the interstate, and we were driving somewhere, and she's having a fit over here. And I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what? And she pull the car over, pull. She couldn't talk. So I pull over him on the on-ramp, you know. So I pull over, and I'm slowing down, and she's like speechless. You know? And I said, what? And she's, it's a spider. I'm like, oh. A spider. Get him. Well, the big, tough guy that I am, I got that spider. He was history. But this morning, there was a spider on the rearview mirror on the driver's side. Well, he had a web and everything. I got in the car, and I shut it, and I saw him hanging there, you know. And he's a good one. He's a good size one. He's kind of juicy. And so I'm glad Jan didn't get in on that side. So we're going down the road, and he wasn't expecting this sudden trip, you know. So he's hanging on, man. He's hanging on. And I'm telling you, he hung on all the way to Christiansburg. And he was, you know, he was kind of hanging on to that thread, that web. And he was like this in the wind there for a while. But then we stopped at a light, and buddy, he was doing all he could do. He crawled up, back up that thread. And you know what he did? He hid himself. He hid himself. He crawled up there against that mirror, and he just hunkered down. Just as tight as he could get. Because he had instincts for survival. He knew what to do. He's pre-programmed. Well, our instincts in Christ are in times of trouble, we pull up close to God. We crawl up that lifeline of faith, and we pull ourselves into Him, and we just get as tight in there as we can, and we hold on. And through the storms, and he said, what kind of man, what kind of house survives in a storm? It's a house that's built on a rock, on that rock. He dug deep, he says. Jesus said, there's two people built two houses, two separate houses, in two different locations, one on sand, one on a rock. And the one who built his house on the rock survived. Same storm. Okay? We go through life, there are storms. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Encourage yourselves. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because when that storm hits, because we're going to all go through certain storms in life. But the strength of the Lord is there to secure us in that cleft of the rock. Amen? That rock that's higher than I. So many psalms David wrote about hiding in God. You know, and this is the guy that ran at Goliath. You know, there are certain times you take your weapons, the weapon, the sword of the Spirit, and you run at your giant. And as I know, I've heard other ministers say, you don't run toward the giant with your mouth shut. You run toward that giant with your mouth open, and you're going to be saying and decreeing and declaring and telling him what the Word of God says about that situation. Because you're not fighting the battle in and of yourself. Amen? Amen? No, what did David do? He rehearsed the victories that God had given him. And those victories, those experiences, he knew the Lord given, and it was just as if God had said it to him. He said, I overcame the lion, I overcame the bear, and I'm overcoming you. You are nothing. You don't have a covenant. You're without protection. Amen?
Amen.
So, we crawl up on that thread of faith, that lifeline to God. Amen? That we hold on to, and we can hide ourselves. You know, he wrote those psalms, like I said, those songs where he talks about hiding himself. Well, this is the same guy that ran towards a giant one time, towards his enemy one time, but another time, he hid himself. He hid himself in Christ. He hid himself in God because that's where his strength came from, because he needed strength in that moment, in that time of need. Amen? So, hallelujah. So we're going to rest. We're going to exercise. Amen?
Amen?
And we're going to feed ourselves the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, my words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are life. They're life to those that find them, health or medicine, strength to all your flesh. Amen? Praise God. You know, in John chapter 6, I won't go there, but you know, Jesus said in chapter 6, you can read that, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. He said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and died. He said, but I came down. He said, if you eat of this bread, you'll never die. And then he goes on and he has that sermon about eat my flesh and drink my blood. A lot of folk, they left after that. Then he turned to the disciples and said, are you leaving too? Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. But we have to, in eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that eating and drinking has to be assimilated. That's why it has to be eaten. That's why it has to be drunk. Jesus can't be out here. He has to be in here. He has to be eaten. Because then when you eat and partake of him, his flesh and his blood, then he becomes a part of you. Amen? You know, when we talk about natural food, you know, it's not just what you eat that's important, but it's what that thing ate before you ate it that's important too. You know what I'm saying? Ain't that true? Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But as we eat Jesus' flesh and we drink his blood, and I'm not trying to be gross, okay? I'm not. He becomes a part of us. He's assimilated in our spirit. And we draw strength from that. We draw strength from the living bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? So as we're eating good, as we're resting in faith, resting in that knowing that God has it. Because if you've given everything to Him, then God is in control of your life. If you've surrendered your life to Him and you're living that kind of life, then He is in control of your life because you have surrendered it to Him. Amen? Doesn't mean He's in control of everything happening out here. But as far as I'm concerned, as for me and my house, Jesus is Lord. And we give Him control of our lives. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, in 1 Timothy, we're going to go back to exercise real brief. Is that all right? 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. You know, he talks about bodily exercise. He said bodily exercise profits some, profits little. But godliness, that type of godliness, and that word in the Greek means piety and devotion to God. Y'all, I see a house full of devoted Christians here this morning. We're devoted to God. Amen. 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 There's a devotion there. Seems like that's kind of a lost word in the church about devotion to God. You know, you don't hear it a whole lot. But godliness, he says, is profitable. Hey, 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 hey. How many of you like to profit? When your 401k does good, you know, when you go out and you work and you get a paycheck and you see that nice big paycheck, that's profitable. But he said godliness, that piety, godliness, that devout, a devout lifestyle, a devoutness towards God, a reverence for God, there's a payday for that. There's a payoff. There's a profit in that. And he said, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Amen? Amen. So that's godly exercise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I wrote some things down here, you know, we already talked about. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord. just briefly about rest. I used to cycle some years ago. And I kind of got into doing some long distance stuff. And, you know, before you could really bite off a big chunk, let's say and do what they used to call a century, which was a 100-miler, you know, you had to do your 5 miles, your 10 miles, your 25 miles. And so I worked with this guy, and he liked to do this ride. I used to live in Ohio, and they had this ride every spring on Mother's Day. And it went from Columbus down to the Ohio River and back. Now, some guys, girls, were like tremendous. They could do it both in the same day, 200 miles. And I remember when I was riding down, there were some people coming back the other way, and I thought, where are they going? Are they lost? No, those were people who went down and back already. And I'm like, okay, keep on going. I was like the little engine that could, you know? Just keep on. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. You know? And for me, it was pedaling. And I tell you, there was like this fear can come on you when you're out riding a bike and you're thinking, can I get home? Can I get back? But anyway, there was this phenomenon that I was able to experience in this particular, this I'd experienced in other rides, and I thought, and it's so cool. But it was the first time I got with these young guys, like 18, 17, 18 years old. These guys were like machines on a bicycle. And they were bionic. And so I got behind these guys who were from Michigan, and they got in what was called a pace line, if you know what a pace line is. So they were in a line, and they're just chugging along like a train, man. I mean, I got in behind them, and I'm at the back of the line. I'm like, yeah, this is it. Man, I can ride all the way to Ohio River like this. This is like a piece of cake. Well, the reason it was a piece of cake is because somebody up in front of me is breaking the wind for me. So it made it easier. Well, lo and behold, the way a pace line works on cycling is that someone in the front will pull for a while. And then when they get tired, they kind of ease out and the rest of the pace line will go up and then they'll come in behind and they can rest. And, you know, the longer the pace line, the more time you have to rest. So I was in this pace line with these young guys. And, man, we're motoring. I mean, we're chugging along 28, 29, 30 miles an hour on a bicycle. And we're flying. I'm thinking, man, we'll be down there in no time. Well, little time later, guess who's at the front of the line? And I'm thinking, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm chugging along. I'm thinking, all these people back there, I'm pulling them. I'm setting the pace. I'm at the head of this pace line. And I'm thinking, how long is this going to last? You know, how long can I go before I'm just, oh, I'm out of gas, guys. I got to, you know, turn on the blinker. I'm moving over so you guys get past me, you know. But it was, and I was able to do it for a while. I was able to do it for a while. I think I pulled at the front maybe three times, max. And I just said, you guys go on. I got to run my race. I got to go at my pace. And I've been in other groups where you had like a gaggle. And if you're in the center of the gaggle, it's beautiful. It's beautiful because you're just like chugging along and like there's no wind resistance. You know, it's easy. It's easy. And so when we're here in church, amen, we can break the wind for one another, if you know what I mean. Yeah. We can go out in front and we can set and be a covering and protection for those around us. You know, those who are older in the Lord can go out ahead, and those who are coming up in the Lord can follow behind, and it makes it easy on them. Amen? And as they're growing, they can rest too. Amen? Amen? Because the older ones should be able to pull at the front. You know what I'm saying? A little longer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Nehemiah 8:10. I don't want to go too long this morning. We're going to wrap it up here. Nehemiah 8:10. You know, I was looking at this scripture. Pastor Todd had ministered, you know, teaching us about joy a few weeks ago. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, I kind of feel like, I told him last week, I said he started talking about the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in a time of infirmity and bodily weakness. And I thought he's going to preach and take off and just preach this whole message. And I thought, okay, well, you go ahead, brother. And, you know, God can do whatever he wants to do. He's in charge. And so in Nehemiah 8:10, this scripture where we see that wonderful quote, this is Nehemiah, and he said unto the people, go your way. And they've been hearing the word of the Lord all day. There was a famine for the word of the Lord. They hadn't been hearing it. And as they heard it, they wept. It changes you. When you read and hear the word of God, it changes you. And they were just so malnourished of the word of God. And as they heard it, they just wept. And he says, now go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Isn't that God? That he take care of everybody? You know? Those of you who have some, and those who don't, share, give. So he says, take care of your brothers here, and prepare and give to those who have nothing prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And as I was looking at that, that word joy is the word gladness. Gladness. It's a lightness of heart. He said, don't be heavy-hearted. Let your heart be light. Let your heart be glad. They wanted to be sorrowful because they knew they had gotten away from God so far. And now he was drawing them back, you know, and it just melted their hearts. But he said, don't be sad. He said, be glad. Be glad. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. And he said, for the joy, the gladness of the Lord is your strength. And that word strength is habitation. Refuge. Stronghold. God is our habitation, our refuge, and our stronghold. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's why we can be joyful. And that's why we can be glad. Because we have strength from the Lord. We have a habitation of the Lord. Amen? Amen. We can run into the Lord as a strong tower. And we can find refuge and strength in Him. Amen? Amen. And we're going to do it from rest, exercise, amen, and feeding on the Word. And we're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And we're going to say, let the weak say. I'm going to say, I'm strong. You know, on days when I don't, you know, there's some days you wake up, you just like, I need that turbo today. I need that four barrel, that three deuces. I'm strong in the Lord. Let the weak say, I'm strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm going to trust in Him today. And in that trust, there's a confidence. There's a settling. There's a peace. And those things that come at you, they don't rattle you. Maybe like they did before. There's a settling. There's a settling down in knowing that God is with me, God is for me, and He's in me. And whatever I need today, He's going to supply it. He'll speak to me in a moment, if need be. If need be. Another cycling story, if you don't mind. And this was protection. I was riding my bicycle one day, and this is when I was in Germany. And, you know, the Lord will help you in so many different ways, you know. And I lived, the village I lived in, there was a local swimming pool, public swimming pool. And kids from the airbase would come down, American kids, and they would go swimming at the Hallenbad, the Schwimmbad, there in Ramstein Village. And so as I'm chugging along, and there's cars parked all up and down the street, I'm chugging along, and I sense the Lord tell me, slow down. Just inside, slow down. And I might have slowed down just a teensy bit, because I like to go fast. So I slowed down maybe just a teensy bit, but then I got up a little further, and I saw there was these two American boys. They weren't looking at me. They weren't even looking up the street. They were looking down the street because there was a car letting some people out there. And so I kept watching them, thankfully. I kept my eye on them. And so I noticed they kind of lean like this and then back. Oh, no, I'm going to wait. And then they lean like that. They did that like two or three times. And then probably maybe about 20 feet before I got to them, one boy darted across. Maybe a little further than that. Maybe to the back wall. One boy darted across. Well, the other boy, he was really unsure. But, you know, when you're traveling 20, 25 miles an hour, you can cover that ground real quick. Well, at the exact moment that second boy decided to cross the road, I hit him. And I didn't have, all I had on, I had little things on my hands, but I didn't have a helmet. Helmet, what's that? You know, this is in the 80s. But in a split second, I went over the handlebars. And as I'm going over the handlebars, just in that split second, I heard inside me, I heard, tuck your head and roll. I knew what that meant. God will deal with you on your level. In a moment of need, He will talk to you in your language. He will speak to you what you understand. So listen, He'll help you. He was already trying to help me by saying, slow down. Okay? But in that split second, He said, tuck your head and roll. I knew exactly what that meant. So as I'm coming hurtling over the handlebars, okay, I did what I knew to do, because I used to do some tumbling and stuff, agility stuff when I was in high school. And so I knew exactly, as my hands touched the ground, then I tucked my head and I rolled. Just that simple. And I rolled, I don't know, the bike was probably from here almost to the end of the seats back, or maybe the end of the row back, so it was probably about 20 feet. So in my hurtling, tumbling, and rolling, it was about 20 feet back to where the bicycle was. So I looked up the road, I saw the bike, and I looked around, the kid was nowhere. Because I figured I might see a young boy writhing in pain in the street or something. So I got up, I'm looking around, I didn't see nobody. And I just thought, where did he go? All of a sudden, this little guy runs across the street. He grabs me. He says, hey, mister, you all right? I'm like, yeah, are you okay? He said, yeah. He was gone, man. He's going swimming. So, praise God, I had a little abrasion on my wrist. But at that moment, God helped me. At that moment, strength can be a word. He strengthened me. He helped me in that moment. Amen. And He's here to help us and strengthen us. Amen?
Amen?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for helping us that we are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We are strengthened with might by Your Spirit in our inner man. And Father, we walk by faith and not by sight. I pray, Lord, that Father, You spoke to people's hearts today, that their hearts were open and receptive, their eyes to see and their ears to hear. And Lord, I thank you that this word will continue to minister to people, Father, and help them, Father, in their walk, in their everyday walk with you, drawing closer, drawing nearer to you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.